So thankful to all of these individuals for their sacrifice, but I see kind of a correlation this morning with the Old Testament reading from Exodus and Moses' call or calling from God, and particularly in light of a draft in which you're not necessarily, you know, looking at yourself and thinking, well, here's something I might be apt for, you know, let me sign up or volunteer, what have you, but you essentially are tapped on the shoulder by the government, in Moses' case, by God, saying, here's your charge, here's what we are asking of you. And so, just to review, in Moses' case, and I think we can generalize this to all of us, but he's born, and his parents kind of look upon him as a special kid. Now, you know, having been a parent, you know, is there anybody that doesn't look upon their child and say, you know, now here's a special gift? Yeah, okay, but they go through this bit of trying to keep Moses from the law that Pharaoh had passed, which was that they were to kill their infant children. The Hebrews were. And ultimately then, you recall the basket and everything, Moses was floated down, he winds up in Pharaoh's court, is raised there. Essentially, you know, Moses' life, it broken up into roughly three chapters of 40 years each. The first 40 then culminate when he kills a superintendent of the slaves for beating, for whipping a fellow Hebrew, and thus Moses flees to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the same name, same place, different name, same place, but that's the next 40 years of Moses' life then, is as a shepherd on the mountain, taking care of sheep until this moment in which God appears to him from the burning bush. So we have already kind of, you know, really wide swing in Moses' early experience and exposures, you know, looking at Egypt and as, you know, the superpower of the day, so to speak, you know, in terms of culture and presence, military and beyond. Egypt was the place, and Moses is at the heart of this there, and then off to the wilderness and tending sheep and goats, you know. Quite a swing from a palace to a tent, if you're just talking living, but just the exposure of culture and everything, you know, pertaining to it. Until this moment where God makes himself known to Moses, and frankly, this is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament because it gives us an explanation of what we celebrate here on the Lord's table. And that is the mysterious and wonderful moment where God attaches himself to a visible element without destroying it, you know, without its ruin, but in fact, attending and giving life there and a display of his presence by that moment. And so for Moses, the burning bush, he says, you know, let me step aside and see why this thing that is aflame is not consumed. So we are invited to imagine not a bush that is on fire, that is, you know, burnt toast in a way, but a bush that is aflame with the presence of God and remains green, you know, is living in its natural sense, and yet the presence of God is there in the midst of that. And that is, to me, that's what's happening here. Bread, wine, routine, normal stuff, but Jesus' words, this is my body, this is my blood, you know, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, you know, the new covenant established for you. And so we're invited here into the presence of God to receive these normal things, but with immense, wonderful, transforming, you know, power in them, you know, to convey the forgiveness of sins, but to invite us then to look at our lives in new light as recipients of this, you know, this essence of God himself to us. That's fabulous. It's life transforming, and it's faith that kind of reaches out to receive these things. Otherwise, we simply receive, you know, the real thing because that's what Jesus has said, but, you know, to our detriment, not to any benefit to ourselves. But so that's part of what's going on for me here in the text, but for Moses, his calling from God. I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned, you know. So if ever in life you have a moment in which you have some sense of, I'm not sure God notices, you know, me or this moment, you know, rest assured he is abundantly capable to know, to perceive, to comprehend, and thus to come alongside and to assist, you know, to help. And so he has heard the cry of his people and has now shown up. So hear this wonderful otherness of God in a way that God is present in the bush, draws Moses to it, but says, not too close, Moses. You know, take off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Close, but not too close. And then the wonder of God in all of his sovereignty and his foreknowledge and all of this at work, at the same time needing, calling a person, you know, a regular person, Moses, with the brokenness of his history and all of this, and also, you know, his, shall we say, humility as a shepherd all those years, now comes into this moment of God's purpose. Have you been there? Wandering through life in a way, you know, not having a sense of clarity or you know, we like progress, you know, we like a sense of movement or direction, and they're just, I'm not feeling it, you know, kind of thing. But rest assured, God is at work, even though it be something like 40 years plus 40 years. Ultimately, it all culminates at Moses 80 and God's calling and putting all of that history and that development, you know, finally it kind of comes into its place and its own. Moses, I'm sending you. I have listened, I have heard, I have seen, I have come. Moses, I am sending you. And right away, Moses is backing up, you know. Who am I that I should be sent to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go? And I could imagine that receiving your draft notice, you know, you may have felt something of the same. Who am I to fight for my country? Who am I to serve in this or that capacity? I don't think or know of myself in that way. Am I truly a warrior? But Moses is invited to look beyond, you know, himself and his, you know, small perception of self, and invited into the great grandeur of God's vision for him. Moses, it's you, Moses. I am sending you, Moses, back to Egypt. So he continues, still more questions. Who shall I say sent me? He asks. And God gives Moses his name. There's a whole world of reality wrapped up in this name. Tell him, Moses, I am who I am sent you. And there an explanation for the bush that is on fire without needing fuel for the fire. I am who I am is God's way of saying, Moses, I have never not been, and I will never not be. I have, I I am all resource, all power, all authority. All of this is simply me, Moses. I am pure, raw being. So when you get to them, tell them, Moses, I am, sent me. So I'd ask you to hear those words. I am, sent me. Suppose I come to you as your pastor and to lead the church in a way and to embark on a direction, and you say, where did this vision or this authority or whatnot come from? And I respond and I say, I am, sent me. Okay, is there any heresy so far? God has called me to be your pastor, you know, through you, the agency of you and the voters meeting, the Spirit of God working through you. So I see no error. But it does create a moment, don't you see, of saying, if Moses is here, you know, project that, if Moses is here and God has sent him and called him, but the fact is, we'll harbor no change. We want everything to be just the same. You know, in fact, I kind of like to tie your hands so you don't, you know, mess up this good thing that we have going here, kind of thing. Don't change anything, you know. Keep everything just the same. Moses encountered precisely that. He begins to converse with Pharaoh, and guess what? Things don't get easier for them, Moses or the people. In fact, their labor is multiplied. Not only are you required now to stomp out the bricks and the straw and what have you, guess what? Fetch your own straw. Go get your own resources in addition to all the other. And so you can imagine how the people received that with Moses. Wonderful. We thought that when you arrived, things would get better for us. Maybe even a little easier for us. But, oh, rats, you know, now it's gotten worse. Thanks a lot, you know, for showing up, kind of thing. Ultimately, through the plagues and all that follows, God shows his hand, supports and upholds Moses, and so on, to the point of delivery. But Moses is taken far, far beyond any who am I to go to Pharaoh kind of moment. And he becomes the leader, the servant, the messenger of the Almighty Sovereign God, and the course of history is changed through God's presence and God's calling, just one with his brother. How stunning to see the transformation of God's calling falling, resting upon the heart and the life of an individual. And then to look at our lives and wonder, have I seen myself in or through the eyes of the Almighty Sovereign God? Or have I been content to simply look in the mirror? And when the call, you know, the nominations committee calls me and says, well, we have prayed over this, and we would like to ask or suggest that you consider serving in such and such a spot, and the response is right off, oh, no. We don't do that stuff. You know, that's not me. Talk to somebody else. And so it goes. Rather than perhaps, if and as you have prayed over this and God has spoken to you, perchance there is a message from God that I need to hear, to comprehend, and perhaps even to submit to, because just maybe
God has something far, far more wonderful than anything I could ever have imagined on my own.
Moses embarks on another 40-year chapter in his life, and I suspect it was the most stunning experience he ever could have imagined. Wandering through the wilderness, all the ups and downs, the challenges here and there, the demands of the people, you know, we're hungry, we're thirsty, and all of that. And Moses meeting himself, you know, through all of that, discovering his own, you know, weakness or strength, frequently weakness, through all of that, in the midst of that, closer and closer to God, you know, closer and closer, you know, more beyond or outside of himself. I have to confess as much as your pastor. For me, standing, speaking to people, the absolute last thing I could ever have seen or imagined for myself. You sure I can't just crawl back under the car and continue as a mechanic? You know, this I enjoy. I'm good at. Now, to speak to a people, write sermons? No. I don't do that. I still don't do that. But at any rate, I have to confess, being a pastor has brought a wholeness to my life, has brought discovery, you know, growth in my mind, a growth in my heart and my soul. And you know, we're in this together, you know, growing, serving, loving God together. And the weaknesses that each of us have, the failings that each of us have, all of this together, but that's the small stuff. And the great, the grand stuff is God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love. So I'm begging you, when God knocks on the door, your heart, your soul, your mind, when God knocks on the door, be open to responding with a sense of receptivity. So we're on the cusp of the Christmas season. And there's one beautiful young lady who illustrates this marvelously for us. The angel comes to her. Mary, you will be with child. Can you imagine how her mind must have exploded with that? And her response, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me as you've said." And thus, the story of salvation begins. Marvelous. Marvelous. Moses, the old, old man. Mary, the young, young woman. Oh, but each letting God have his way with them. By God's grace, may we respond in kind. Grow deeply in relation and connection with him and also with one another. Arms wide, the embrace of the family of God together. God bless and keep you in his joy and his peace all your days. Amen.